Jackie's chick damn near struck me blind. Then I said, girl, what is it you're trying to do to me? That's when I noticed her husband looking drunk and crazy at me. Well, he said, I'm getting out of town and you staring my girl up and down while you're sucking down beers on that stool like some drunken clown. Well, I started drinking and thinking I should have stayed home instead. Yeah. I grabbed a six-pack.
You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and much more. I'm Rebecca. I'm joined in the studio today by Andrew of Andrew Fell Architecture and Design. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. And to get us started, we heard a track by Whitey Morgan, who is going to be playing at the brand new venue called The Accord, which is currently the High Dive, on February 24th. The High Dive is going through some big changes. It's going to reopen as The Accord on January 15th. There's a lot of awesome live shows that are lined up, including Whitey Morgan. So check that out. So, Andrew, to get us started today, we're going to talk a little bit about architecture and design, of course. And to get us started, can you tell me a little bit about your firm?
Well, I opened my firm in 1999 and with a staff of one. And over the years, we've grown quite a bit. And we currently have a staff of nine. In the office all the time are four people all the time. And we have two people that work totally remotely and one that works part-time, lives in Chicago and commutes down a couple days a week. And we have some graduate students that work and one intern.
So it sounds like a pretty flexible and kind of diverse model for your firm.
Yes. We started with employees working remotely because they were parents that wanted to spend time with their children. So we just offered them the opportunity to work flex time so they could be with their kids and be better parents. And it's worked out great because they're happier and they're happier employees and do excellent work.
So could you tell us a little bit about the work that you've done over the past several years in terms of specific projects, particular locations that people might be familiar with in Champaign-Urbana?
Sure. We do work all over Champaign-Urbana and throughout the country, really. The majority of our work, of course, is in Champaign-Urbana. We do lots of campus apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. We've done all kinds of work downtown. For instance, we've recently done Pizzeria Antica downtown. We did the Circle space. Nando Milano, that's now open, we did that space. And we're currently working on a few other projects downtown, which I can't be very specific about.
So, thinking about designing some of those spaces downtown in particular that you mentioned, which are beautiful spaces, by the way, I just was in Nando Italiano last week. It's gorgeous. Could you talk a little bit about what kinds of considerations you make in terms of kind of balancing aesthetics and the functionality of the building as an architect?
Sure. Lots of the downtown spaces are are a new use for a four-per space. Nando's is a good example because it was Carrie's before that. And even our office is on Hickory Street, and originally it was built as a welding shop, and the blind man, his business was in there for a while. To me, it's more exciting to try to renovate a space for new use. There's just more challenges. Obviously, there are more obstacles to get around, and there's certainly code issues and things like that. But in downtown, the I think the mix of the new and old things is really exciting, makes it more vibrant and more interesting overall place to be. So, and again, most of our work downtown specifically is rehabbing a space into something else, and we happen to enjoy that kind of work a lot.
Is there a way that you would characterize your particular design practice?
Well, I can't say we have necessarily a particular design style. I think we tend to do a lot of work, if we're left to our own design initiative, to do a lot of kind of industrial sort of looking spaces with exposed brick and ductwork and things like that. Certain clients or certain projects don't lend themselves to that aesthetic very well. And as an architect, especially in a town like this, you kind of it's hard to have one single design sense, because you have to work for multiple clients with different ideas and different aesthetics, and it's important to as their arm, I guess, design arm, we have to convey the aesthetic that they want to convey often, and that's not a problem. I think it's just an opportunity, because we don't like doing the same thing over and over again. So for us, it's exciting to do different design styles on different projects.
So when you were talking about renovating spaces that have been used in multiple ways, particularly some of the older buildings in downtown Champaign, I was wondering a little bit about what the process is like. I mean, I'm sure it's a kind of trite understatement to say it's a large-scale endeavor, but from a non-architect's perspective, I have no idea what that would be like to walk into a space that had been used in one way, and then what kinds of considerations would go into turning it into a different kinds of space. So what are the kind of steps and parts of the process, the different decision-making things that occur when you're renovating a building?
Well, I think a lot of it's the same process, whether we start with a new project or renovate a project. Almost always we have a meeting with the owners or the users, and potentially if the user is a tenant, with the building owner, and we review the scope of what they want to do and the parameters, and usually the economics of the project, and we develop a program of spaces typically, and it's oftentimes a balance of not only aesthetics but the function of what they want to get into the space and the cost of doing that. It's more and more it's the case that the cost is the overriding factor, and it's not necessarily that the clients aren't willing to spend the money. It's just that the cost of construction has escalated so much recently that it puts a much higher damper on what we're allowed to do, or what we're the creative freedom that we can use. Mm-hmm. So it's always a balancing act between the aesthetics and the cost and the function of the space. Mm-hmm. So to us, the most important thing is that the space functions for the user. So if we do a restaurant, it's important that we have the aesthetics and the function that they can do their job. And the same thing occurs with a commercial space. You know, if they or even an apartment building. If their apartment building gets full, we did our job well.
Mm-hmm. So, I imagine, especially with renovation projects, that you get to see the bones of the building in a way, the ways that the building looks when everything is stripped down, and kind of some of the original materials that were in the building when it was originally constructed. Are there any examples that are particularly memorable for you in terms of renovation projects where you've kind of seen ways that the buildings are constructed that another person might not have access to visually?
Well, they all. I think every building that you renovate comes with some surprises. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're good surprises, and sometimes they're bad surprises. I suppose one good example is we did the Ginza Building, which is on 4th and University, and that building was stripped down entirely to just the framing on the inside, and it was a real shock, and we had to back up and redesign a whole, about half of the building, because the framing on one floor was perpendicular to the framing on the next floor, and nobody would expect that. So those are the kinds of things that we run into sometimes with buildings that you have to renovate. And again, sometimes it's a good surprise and sometimes it's not, but it's rare that we've come across something we can't, a problem we can't overcome. We just may have to find a compromise to do that.
So, earlier you were mentioning that the kind of mix of older and newer designs, especially in downtown Champaign, lend a kind of vibrancy to the way the city space looks. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit from the perspective of an architect, more specifically how you might characterize the kinds of buildings that we see in our fair Twin Cities, Champaign and Urbana.
That's kind of an open question.
Intentionally so.
Thanks. Well, to me, again, the vibrancy of downtown is that there's a mix of old and new, and there's a not only mix of old and new, but the buildings that are old are being used in new ways, which it just makes it an exciting place. And I think the one thing that's helped greatly for the downtown is all the exterior space that is being developed. And I think as more projects kind of come on board, that will increase. And it just makes it just an exciting place to be. And I think the architecture helps with that. I think one thing also that is nice in our downtown is we kind of have a mix of larger and smaller buildings. So we don't have the low scale of a small downtown, but we also don't have the big scale of a city. And I think that there's a really nice balance there that just lends the scale of the built environment downtown to a really user and friendly environment.
Mm-hmm. When you were saying that, I was thinking, even in the time that I've lived in town in the last 4 years, the shape of the skyline has changed a lot, particularly in the campus town area, in terms of the new buildings going up that have affected the way the skyline looks across the city, making it look more urban in a way.
Right. I think it's, to me as an architect, I think that's appropriate for campus. I think it's less appropriate for downtown because I don't think that's the scale we want in the downtown. It could, again, because it's not, it's less of a human scale and more of a city scale or a big city scale. And not that Champaign doesn't want to be a big city, but I think we need the balance of kind of being who we are. And what downtown is not what campus is. So I think that's a good, I like campus being big because I think that's an appropriate scale for what is happening in that area. But what's happening in Champaign downtown, I think, is appropriate scale for that as well.
Could you talk a little bit more about what human scale means to you as an architect?
Well, I think it's some of it's detail, some of it's texture. There are all kinds of things involved. And to me, big expanses of materials that are bland and uniform don't really lend themselves to a nice interaction with the environment. And again, for instance, downtown is nice because most of the buildings aren't big on the street, I guess. They don't have a lot of street furniture. So as you go down the street, you have different buildings which are contextually different, which is a nice mix that just the variety makes it more exciting.
Mm-hmm. You've been talking a lot about how the kind of context of having different kinds of buildings lends this interest to the way that a space visually looks in downtown. I'm wondering, kind of zeroing in on particular buildings, particular structures in downtown Champaign specifically, if there are some that really stand out to you from a design perspective of this is a building that looks interesting, maybe some of your own projects or maybe others that we commonly encounter in downtown Champaign. Or Urbana, not to hate on
sure.
Urbana.
it's hard as an architect to criticize other buildings, especially new buildings, because you never know what parameters went into the decision making to get the building the way it looks. I can say I really like the spaces that we've done. I mean, it's a little presumptuous, I guess, to say, but for instance, our office is a nice environment, and the variety of spaces is nice. I think Champaign is different than Urbana. You know, Urbana really wants to kind of stay smaller and uniform. And for instance, we did, I don't know if you're familiar, but the collab space, and there's the outdoor space and a wood facade that got built up. That was our project. And there were a lot of people in Urbana that didn't take that very well because it was so out of character for the downtown. To me, it's exciting for downtown because it's a new thing. And Champaign, in certain ways, embraces those new things. And not that Urbana doesn't embrace those, but I think Champaign in particular goes out of their way to embrace those new kind of ideas and gives not only the architects, but business owners and the community a little more freedom to push the envelope a little bit. And I think that's a great thing.
Could you talk a little bit about, so thinking specifically about process again, could you talk a little bit more about who, like you were talking about the weighing the distinction between values and cost in terms of the process, but could you talk a little bit more about the kind of steps that go into that? Like, for instance, when you originally look at a building, I'm sure you're looking for, you know, certain considerations in terms of what needs to be reshaped. And so what kinds of categories or questions are in your mind when you first evaluate a building that needs renovation?
Well, again, we meet with the owner and the tenant to find out what their specific needs are, and usually we lay a space out very roughly. We sketch it out in a sense, but we always have to keep be mindful of what the building code implications are, and that's especially true when you renovate a building, because when you change the use, you have to meet current building codes with a new use, and sometimes that's very difficult to do. So there's always an eye to not only what the aesthetics are, but what the technical and legal ramifications of what we do are. And normally, kind of like any other design process, we sort of start out with a big idea and refine that as we go. So we may have some key aesthetic considerations that we start with, and we work those in through the projects. But normally the process is you kind of start big and then refine it down to the little details. And usually it's the little details that make the building exciting and interesting. It's not necessarily the overall ideas of how it's put together. And that's a real, oftentimes that's a real dilemma of how you balance the building code issues and the aesthetic issues and the monetary issues.
Could you talk about that specifically in relation to your own office space? What kinds of design principles were you having in mind as you were thinking about that particular space?
Well, for instance, our office, we've been there about 15 months now, and it's already too small, which is, I guess, a good thing. But our office is intentionally, the workspace is a big open space because it's a, We try to have a more collaborative environment where everybody works on every project, and we solicit ideas from everybody. And so it's important for us to have a space that facilitates that. I mean, we do have some more private space. We have a conference room so that, you know, if we need a big meeting, you know, we have a space to do that. We also have a back workspace. This is totally informal space where you can go sit down and kind of get away from everybody if you'd like to. We also, I can't say we encourage our employees, but we certainly don't discourage them from working remotely for a while if they want to. We have employees that might go sit at Kopi and drink coffee for the afternoon and work there, and that's fine. I mean, we kind of encourage that sort of environment in the office. One of the things I try to tell my employees that architecture is important and our jobs are important, and we work really hard at what we do, but our job should never be the most important thing in our life. And I hope my employees feel that, I guess. You know, it's important as a boss to have the people want to work there.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about, I know that earlier in the conversation you've mentioned the importance of balancing kind of like material and aesthetic concerns, but I know I know that you think about design as well. And so what are your sources of kind of design inspiration when you're thinking about, you know, when you're working with a business owner who might have certain ideas about how they want their space to look, but then you're introducing ideas as well for how the space will ultimately be for someone to experience. What kind of, you know, sources of inspiration guide that kind of process as you're thinking about how an environment will look and feel?
Well, again, it depends on the project a little bit. Of course, we look at other projects, and you can take certain design ideas from everywhere. I mean, certainly we look at other buildings, and there are things or characteristics or certain design aesthetic pieces that we like, and we might shape that in a new way to incorporate it in one of our buildings. The other thing that's kind of been really exciting is we get lots of magazines with products that manufacturers want us to use, and there are lots of really kind of neat, exciting products that come out that lets you do some really interesting new things. And for instance, we're using a lot of metal panels on buildings now. We have some buildings on campus that we're doing that will have some metal panels, and it's kind of just a neat material. And so the new materials that come out are really fun to use.
Mm-hmm. So, thinking again about downtown Champaign as this kind of space that has a lot of different kinds of buildings in terms of scale, in terms of design, like you were mentioning earlier, are there things from your perspective architecturally that downtown Champaign is missing that you hope will become part of the landscape in the future?
Well, I think one thing that would help downtown a little bit is to try to get more daytime business users, I guess, downtown. And the projects that are kind of on the horizon, some that we're doing and some that other people are doing, are bringing some of that to downtown. And I think there's a vitality during the daytime, but it's not like it is when it's nice out at night. And I think that the more we can encourage the kind of 24-hour use of downtown, the better it will be. And the getting a higher residential component will help that, and that's also on the horizon. There, not only the project on Walnut Street that was unveiled a month or so ago, but we're working on some projects also that will bring a significant amount of residential space to downtown.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, thank you so much for talking with us about architecture and design in our community.
Sure. Great to be here. Thank you.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local, art, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. And to take us out, we are going to listen to Cat Power play Sea of Love. Have a great weekend.
Come with me, my
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Hip Hop Express is off for the night, so we're going to listen to some music instead. Have a great weekend.
Way from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, the Nick Moss Band.